It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great and wonderful day to study the Word of God. Please that you come and listen with us and search the Word with us. We're in John chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 39 through verse 47. So if you would please take your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 6, verse 39 through 47. While you're doing that, I'll share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's so good to have you to come and to study the Word of God with us. Please, that it be a blessing unto you, and you be a blessing unto the Lord. Now, if you have opened your Bibles up into that place, why, please read along with me. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Let's begin with a word of prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank you that we can come today. Please that you forgive us of our shortcomings as we fall from walking that life and the perfect walk that you want us to. But Lord, it's such a wonderful opportunity we have to serve you, and thank you for your forgiving heart. And Lord, continue to use us, strengthen us, and grow us. We thank you for your word. We praise you that we have it in our hands to study whenever we can. And I ask that we do it very often, that we don't miss an opportunity to study your precious word. Please, now as we're looking at the Word of God today, I ask that you will direct us and guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These precious scripture verses that we've read here, search the Scripture. When we finished last time, we spent some time concerning another gospel. We looked up Deuteronomy 4:2, Deuteronomy 12:32, Proverbs 30, verse 6, Revelation 22:19, concerning how another gospel is presented so often, and we need to be careful that there is no other gospel. There is only one, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you didn't even know for sure what the gospel really was. Well, it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so please, as we look today and study, and verse 39 tells us to search the Scripture. Now, it's important that we have life, and we have life in Jesus Christ, because that is the only place that we can have life. God the Father, through His Son, has given us life, but we must come and receive it. Now, the Word of God testifies of Him, of the Lord Jesus. Now, when we left last time, we were looking at a verse of Scripture of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15, and I said that that was the very first gospel that was presented. Now, it is, and I hope that you have taken time since the last time we were together to just take a look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, because we're going to do so. I have, that is the first gospel, but I have in the Scripture, I have taken out, and I counted them. I said last time that I hadn't taken time to count, but this time I have. And as I look at the verses of Scripture that pertain to the Lord Jesus, that it says here, search the Scriptures, and that you may have life, and that they testify of me. And they do. And there are thousands of Scripture that do that. All Scripture lead us to Jesus. And so, as we search the Scripture and study the Word of God, but in looking up these verses of Scripture, I have 44, if I counted them correctly, 44 verses of Scripture that testify of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, there are many, many more. These are just a few. Now, we're not going to take time to look at them. We'll probably look at 8 or 10 today, maybe a little bit more than that. But I've just picked out some key verses of Scripture. This one in Genesis we're going to look at. We have one in Psalms, Isaiah, and then we're going to go all the way to Malachi. And there are many verses of Scripture I have here in, Genesis, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Isaiah. Let's see where I'm going from Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Micah, Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. And these are just verses of Scripture that clearly speak of the Lord Jesus and His saving power and strength. Now, again, there were 44 of them that I had listed, and we'll just look at a few of them as we give you an idea and let you look at the Word of God and all the Old Testament Scripture faces to the Lord Jesus to bring you to Him. And when it says here, search the Scriptures, it doesn't say search another book. It says search the Scripture. And I can't emphasize that enough. And I ask you, please, that you would go back, if you do not have your King James, an old King James Bible, I ask that you go back to the original, to the King James, and begin. Now, when I say original, I know that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And so when I say the original, I realize that it was not written for the very first time in this language. But I do believe that the Old King James is as close as any, and we need to stay with that, because when we begin to use other, and so many people use the New International, they say, well, it's just easier to read. I don't want it to be easy to read. I want you to search it, that you may know God and His presence and walk with Him. I ask that you would do that. Please, that you do not read it casually, but you let every word, and you search every word, and you get your Strong's Concordance out, and you look at those words and look at the original Hebrew meaning and the Greek meaning, and take your old King James to use as your beginning rule. I have listened, and when I say that, I mean, if you take the Strong's Concordance, and it is directly interlocked with the King James, and so it's just easier for you to study, and you can see clearly what it has to say. And when man has changed the words, and I know they think that they're improving it so it's easier for people to read, I want you to study it. I don't want you just to read it. I want you to study it. And I've had people that they can't understand what I'm saying. Well, most of them do not know the Lord Jesus if they don't understand what I'm saying. Please, that you look unto the Word of God and find and see Jesus there. And we're going to look here again at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, you know how that I take another Bible many times, and I have right now two Bibles in front of me. I have three Bibles to my side. If I need those for other references that I look up so that I can look at several at the same time, I hope that that's a habit that you have taken on, that you have more than one Bible. I hope, again, that they're both King James or all King James. Out of the five Bibles I have right here with me right now, all five of them are King James. I don't use the Living Bible and the New International and all the different ones trying to decipher what it is. I use the King James in connection with Strong's Concordance, and I look up those verses and those words and look up every word of that verse. Well, you say, well, you can't read much. And I have people that say they can read several books of the Bible every day. I would much rather that you read less and study more and spend time so that the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart, so that the Holy Spirit can direct you and lead you, and not some other man's book or some other man's Bible version, but only the Word of God. And that will come slowly. And again, I speak of tools that you need. You need a King James Bible, you need a Strong's Concordance, and you need a good Bible dictionary. And if you have those things, if you don't, and you call yourself a Christian, I ask that you spend a little less money on something that you desire of the world, and spend a little bit of money and buy you at least this much for your library, so that you can begin to be a a scholar of the Word of God, a searcher of the Word of God, a studier of the Word of God, that you may be a blessing unto the Lord and see people saved. Now, I didn't intend to spend near that much time, but we need to realize the importance of studying the truth, the Word of God, and I believe it's there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, chapter 3, verse 15, and again, I have another Bible here right in front of me, so that I can glance up and remind myself in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scripture. And now I'm looking down at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. We have a verse of Scripture here that I said was the first gospel, and it is the first gospel presented. I will read it for you, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now I ask you, and I don't give you homework very often, but I asked you last time we were together to take a look at that verse of Scripture to see if you can figure out, if you can understand how that presents the first gospel. And again, I'll read it for you. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now let's take a look to see where this is at as far as in context, because I am very careful each time that I look to the Word of God, that you can see that I'm not taking words and just using them for my own purpose and for my own gain. We find here what's taking place, and I'll read verse 14 for you, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, deceived Eve, is where we're at here. You'll notice we're back in the beginning of Genesis, and so it's close at the temptation, the opportunity that was opened up unto the beginning of sin. And as Eve was tempted here, and I believe the reason Eve was tempted more so than was given the a clear opportunity. We don't know whether Adam was given an opportunity to be tempted of the devil or not. I'm sure that he was. But I believe that the devil knew, the serpent knew, that Eve would probably be a little easier to deceive and to trick. A couple of reasons. According to the Word of God, for what we have, God told Adam. Adam told Eve. And so, see, the words maybe didn't come clearly from the Lord unto Eve's ears. I believe that Adam, being perfect, did speak them perfectly unto Eve. There wasn't a question here, but it was through the head Adam down to Eve. So the serpent had an opportunity here to say, did God say? Well, Adam told me. And if you'll remember the story, Eve just changed the word just a little bit. She added to the Word of God. And when she did that, when she added to God's Word, the serpent knew he had an open door, and he directed all of his strength to deceive her, and he was victorious. So we have that taking place, and now the Lord God, as it says here in the Scripture, dealing with the serpent, said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now we have verse 15. I will put, he's talking to the devil, I will put, or to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The only woman we have here is Eve. And we're talking to the serpent, to the devil, between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And thou shalt bruise, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, we go on. I wanted to just show you in context here. We have first the judgment upon the serpent in verse 14. We have the first speaking of the first opportunity, the first time it's told of the Messiah, the Savior coming in verse 15. God always gives us an opportunity. In verse 16 now, that was verse 15, verse 16, and unto the woman he said, now he talked to the serpent first in verse 14. He continued to speak to the serpent in verse 15, but he declared right there unto the serpent that there would be a Savior. In verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Then he turns to Adam. He said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Okay. Now, as we begin with the judgment that was placed, again, it started in verse 14 concerning the serpent. Next, it was dealt with Eve because she was the one that was deceived, and finally is Adam, and he also has the judgment. And so we have the childbearing, the sorrow and the pain involved in childbearing for the woman. We have the serpent's going to eat dust all the days of his life and be on his belly. And Adam, he has to fight with the curse of the soil and the curse of the ground, as well as just sin itself that's come into their lives. Now, between the judgment of the serpent, because you see, the serpent has no Savior. The serpent has no way out. His judgment is already in place. He knows what's going to happen to him. He just doesn't know when. But for us, and for Adam and Eve, the only two living, the only two human beings, before God placed judgment upon them and said what was going to happen all of their life, he gave them hope. And we have hope today in Jesus Christ. And he gave them hope. Before judgment, the opportunity of salvation was presented to them. And it was here in verse 15. Maybe you've never thought about that being halfway between the two. But it was very clearly right here. Now let's take just a few minutes and look at this verse of Scripture, and then we'll continue at the others. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and thy seed. Enmity. Now, and first of all, I guess we need to see who's speaking. Again, the Lord God is speaking to the serpent. I, being the Lord God, will put enmity. Enmity is hatred, it's hostility. One gave a definition as you look up the word in the concordance, an undying opposition to the evil one. I, the Lord God, will put enmity, hatred, hostility between thee, the serpent, and the woman. How many women do we have right now? We have one. So it has to be Eve. Between thy seed, the offspring of the serpent, and her seed. Let's take a look at her seed. Started with Abel, went to Seth, went to Noah, went to Shem, down to Abraham, over to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to David, to the Messiah, Christ Jesus. Her seed. The promise in verse 15 of her seed is the promise we have that there's going to be a Messiah, a Savior. And we know according to the rest of this verse, and we'll go through it in a second, what's going to happen. We already know that the devil is going to be destroyed. and the Lord Jesus is going to be victorious. Let me read one more time. Her seed with Abel. Remember Cain and Abel? What happened to Abel? Seth took the place of Abel when Abel was killed. Noah, Noah's son Shem. We go to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and we find ourselves to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel. Now, as we look through this, you'll say, well, there's places missing. Yes, there is. But the line was continuous. Her seed. These are ones that you're familiar with. Her seed. Not his seed. Not Adam's seed. Her seed. Because as the birth of these children took place, as Abel was born, Seth was born, Noah was born, Shem was born, Abraham was born, Isaac was born, Jacob was born, Judah was born, David was born, Christ was born. The difference between Abel, Seth, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and David, they were all fathered by men coming from Eve, but fathered by men. We find ourselves to the Lord Jesus. He was fathered by the Holy Spirit. Through the woman, not through the man. Through Eve, not through Adam. All these children were born the natural way. All these people were born the natural way, till we get to Christ. Born of the Virgin Mary, the Lord Jesus. Her seed. Now, let's back up. I will put enmity or hatred or hostility between thee, between the serpent and the woman, being Eve, between thy seed, the descendants of the serpent, and her seed, which is the Lord Jesus. Who do we have for descendants of the seed of the serpent? Who's there? We have the Antichrist. We have many of all his helpers, his workers, thousands and thousands of demons. We don't think about the demons floating around doing the serpent's work. The serpent's a busy man. He's busy. You call him a man. I think of him being a person. And I think we need to treat him that way. Because I think we tend to look at him too lightly otherwise. He's strong and he's powerful. Not as strong and not as powerful as the Lord Jesus and as God at all. But he's very strong and powerful. Much more strong and powerful than we are. And so if we're going to stand against him, we must stand with Jesus. Let's find out what's going to take place. Thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The bruising of the head of the serpent is fatal. That's what's going to happen to the devil. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's go to Isaiah 53:5. I love the Word of God. Scripture verse confirms Scripture verse. Isaiah 53:5. Hear the pages going? Isaiah 53:5. Search the scripture. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And it continues in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see what Jesus did? That's back in Isaiah 52. Back up to the 5th verse, Isaiah 52:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. His stripes we are healed. And again, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Beautiful verses of Scripture. You know, we've read verse 5 twice, verse 6 twice. We can look to verse 2 or verse 3. We can even begin at the beginning of the chapter, because it speaks so clearly of the Lord Jesus. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquitted with grief. And we hid his, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. It continues through that sweet verse of Scripture. Isn't it wonderful to read the Scripture? To look at the Word of God. Search the Scripture. We know according to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it shall bruise thy head, speaking of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yes, he was bruised. Our sin bruised him. He took on the load of all our sin that we may live. Jesus did that for you and for me. Please that you trust in Jesus today and turn to him. Please come to him. Let's look now at another verse of Scripture concerning the bruise thy head being the serpent. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know, sometimes we have to go to the end of the book to get the rest of the story. And so we're going to go all the way back to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 3, 2, and 3. Revelation 20, verse 2 and 3. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You know why I call the serpent the devil? Look right there. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Okay, now if we'll go to the 10th verse of this chapter, Revelation 20, verse 10, and we find in the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You see, he's loosed for a season at the end of the millennium. And so now he is loosed for a season, but judgment is coming, final judgment. We have that in verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, if you don't trust in Jesus, that's where you're going. I don't care what the liberal preachers say. I don't care what they're teaching you. That's where you're going to go if you don't come by faith to Jesus and be saved today. We have the first gospel. There is no excuse. We have the first gospel presented in Genesis chapter 3:15. I will put enmity, hatred between thee and the woman. We see that. The hatred is placed there, and it is very clear that it is eternal. Because God has placed it there because of what the serpent has done. And between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Victory will be the Lord Jesus. Defeat will be for Satan, for the serpent, for all of his angels and all of his followers. Now what are you going to do about Jesus?